You're listening to the Multifamily Innovation Show with Patrick Antrim, your source for innovative strategies for multifamily professionals, CEOs, executive leaders, and aspiring leaders that want to drive high-performance results for their property or portfolio.
Welcome to another episode of the Multifamily Innovation Podcast. This is the show that gives you the edge in the multifamily industry. Now, I'm your host, Patrick Antrim. I'm the founder and CEO of Multifamily Leadership. Today, we'll be diving into the year-over-year trends among the best places to work multifamily companies, and we'll be discussing the key differentiators that set these companies apart. And before we get into the differentiators of the best places to work multifamily companies, I want to share with you why we do this, how this program became what it is today. Now, I don't think I've shared this with many people, honestly, maybe some private and one-on-one conversations as they tell us a little bit about your company and at the core of what is it that you do. Those of you that know me understand that I've operated mostly all aspects of this business and my early days as an apprentice to one of America's most influential investors who did some pretty amazing things in this world, had owned airlines, Major League Baseball teams, invested in technology and aerospace, movies, and happened to also own apartments. And I was first drawn to his organization by the impact that he made in this world. And at the age of 24, I retired with the New York Yankees to join this team. Now, I learned the business first from an investor's point of view. And I had made the decision to leave a professional baseball career with zero support from my friends, family, and pretty much anybody that knew me. They thought I was crazy. And I made this decision to step out of my comfort zone because I wanted a bigger and better life than what was on that field. And it was great. During the game, it was amazing, but there are 24 hours of the day, and living out of a suitcase and traveling the country on bus rides turned out to not be really the vision that I had for a long-time career. And I knew at 24, I needed to make a decision now, or it would be problematic if I waited later in life to do that. But turns out, after my apprenticeship ended, and as I ran this apprenticeship program for this billionaire for 18 months, and he had sent me out to an on-site property to lease apartments. And I got up close and personal to literally lease apartments on site. And this was not really my ideal plan. I thought I could lead the whole organization at this time. I'm 24. I knew that every president of every division that he had, I knew all the operations, I knew the reports, I knew the vision of what he needed when he wanted the organization to go the direction he wanted. And for me, a little ambitious, and thought I pretty much could run the organization. Now that I'm on site, I was really motivated to move up into the organization quickly. Unfortunately, I hit a wall and I started to work these nights and weekends. I'm going over and above. I had given up professional baseball, so I needed to make sure this worked. My plan B was not there. It was plan A had to work. So from my perspective, I was seeing all my friends experience Southern California on the weekends. I was sitting inside a leasing office at a coastal property. I could see looking out the windows as the residents and were enjoying the weekend. And here I am processing reports and paperwork that didn't seem very exciting for me. I didn't have a long-term vision of how that job would play out either. And I just remember looking out the window and people would be loading surfboards and jumping into the back of Jeeps and headed on down to the beach. And I wanted to quit at this time. And literally, I wanted to do fun things on the weekend. And I was just tired of dealing with the problems on site. New managers were being changed from property to property, and some of these properties were more desirable than others. It was almost as if it was our own sort of currency or compensation on which property you were transferred to, just in how these leasing offices were even improved. And collecting rent was really hard for me at times. On one end, I was cold as ice because the lease is the lease and the rules are the rules. And I even was called cold and calculating by our controller, which was a compliment, actually, because I had put $1 million into the organization because of enforcement of these processes and policies. But what was happening internally for me was not the same. I knew that people had hard times and that they would ultimately probably get back on their feet and want to pay rent again and be out into the world. But for me, as a career, I was winning for the investor. And so as you listen to this, I want you to think about who is the customer. What I learned journaling, playing baseball every day with the New York Yankees, is that they understood the customer. And it's not the fans. Those are the people that pay them. What they know is the employee or the player in this situation is the customer. They knew that if they could scout and find the best talent, they would get them working effectively together so that they can win. The fans would be happy. It's like this inside-out look. And if you have happy fans, then guess what? They show up to the games. They purchase the food and beverages, the concessions, all that stuff, and all the merchandise. And they're able to negotiate TV deals because they have an audience. And all these things play out financially. But if they don't put good people on the team, and if they don't go out and find out where those professional prospects are winning and figure out how to bring them into the organization, then none of that can really play out. But in multifamily, sometimes the investor feels like that's the customer, right? They may not even have a long-term vision for their business because they're exiting in 3 months. So it can be incredibly challenging to build a high-performance team and culture and align with multiple investors, especially if you're a third-party operator. You have multiple investors with different outcomes and investment objectives based on their timelines. After leading these teams inside these companies, in fact, at this time, this company, I was asked to run other organizations inside this billionaires network. So I became the guy that would walk into any organization and make an impact. So if you're doing a lease up, we're building 5,000 units, I'd come in, build a sales organization, get a value engineering and the architectural plans, development process, build a great team around that, get the investment objectives handled, and win, right? So it's like building that high-performance team and culture to make that happen. And I knew what to do, right? Like how to do things. And when I referenced what I learned with the Yankees was finding great people, getting them to work effectively together, and so that they can show up and win for the residents. That was like my magic formula. I could take over any property and portfolio and turn it around, regardless of how it was structured, who the owner is, or if they were winning or not. Because if I could find the right people, get them motivated and effectively working together, leadership, and then I know that the residents would rent faster, rent more, stay longer, all that stuff. And because of that, I would win financially for the investor. And so I had this sort of ignore the investor, just go after what drives the leading indicators, sort of like the professional sports teams. They're not worried about getting fans in seats. They're just worried about winning and thinking about winning and how to prepare themselves. Just fast forwarding here, after reaching like this peak in my career and walking away from a job that I could have retired in, it was an amazing family, 3 generations of success, and just incredible impact in the communities and the world. And for me, I had to take the risk of even walking away from, during these development deals, even $2 million in equity. At the time, that's what it was valued at. I don't even know what it'd be valued at today. But to run a national multifamily investment firm that operated then in now 13 states and reached, I think we were a little over $1.2 billion in a 9-month period. I had to hire all these people, and we had third-party operators at the time running all these things. As I was an owner representing the owners as an asset manager, hiring these third-party managers, we had national management companies, we had regional management companies, local management companies, founder-based groups. We had to figure out how to match the right management company with the investment objectives of, is this a turnaround, a reposition? Is this a stabilized? All these types of things had to play out. And for me, I'm looking at that regional manager as the wedge of how good they're able to recruit and place that great person on site, because I knew if they could do that, we would rent, right? And drive occupancy and resident experience and all that stuff. But for me, the leading indicator of reaching financial goals for these investors and asset managers was their ability to do that, right? Get good people, bring them together, and make sure that company is ready to win for the customer. The problem was that I would meet with these VPs and principals of these management companies and really buy into the brand. Now, I even look at any management company, they all look great. They all look strong. They all have a great track record and have done amazing things. The problem is, 3 months later, the vice president leaves and starts a new management company or moves from one management company to the other because the offer is so good that they want to take all the clients, all that stuff. What I thought was management company A is now management company B because the entire leadership team moved because that one leader, right? You start to think about the turnover in our industry and how it reshapes companies and their abilities to even produce results. And I believe that all companies are nothing more than a collection of people. And when one person leaves and the entire leadership team goes with them, then that impacted our ability to even decide which is a good management company to work with. Who should we work with? During that time, we just built our own management company. We brought all of our management in-house, and that was necessary in order for us to anticipate. We knew where the market was going. The capital markets were not necessarily open, and we knew that we had to have better control of the real estate to meet the investment objectives of how these portfolios were structured. So I quickly reached my peak of my career during this time, and as a dad, I wanted to spend a little bit more time with my kids, and they were young, and traveling around in 13 states and solving problems, jumping on airplanes. This is far before like remote and Zoom and all these things. And I think it was 2008, 2009, social media started entering a new digital life. I started to notice how Twitter and social media started changing customer service for brands. And bad companies could no longer hide. And small businesses started improving their customer experiences because if they didn't, guess what? You would hear about it on Twitter. And it made businesses better and it made the customer experience better. So I started to think, I'm thinking now, multifamily, if I didn't land into this career, I would have missed something amazing, not only the friendships, but also just this industry and the wealth that can be created if you really pay attention and make some things happen. I wanted to create a program that would allow us to attract top talent to this industry by showcasing the great companies that got the internal strategies right. So it was more of a positive program to really showcase and highlight those companies that looked at the eight key areas of their business that drive culture and engagement. There's a difference between satisfied employee and an engaged employee. You can be satisfied, like, I'm cool, I'm getting my paycheck, I'm happy. Satisfied. Engages, they're willing to show up and do that extra effort to win for your customer. And that's engagement. And we thought, how can we recognize those companies that get that right? Because as the investors, that's the leading indicator of how well that investment is going to play out. Healthy companies, as an asset manager, or even for family offices looking to place capital inside companies, we wanted to create a list that they could look at. These are the companies that take care of the most important customer. This is the employee customer. And just like the Yankees, when they get this right, they will win for the customers that pay the rent. And doing so will be the best approach to knowing this management company can not only take care of the real estate, but also take care of the investors. So in 2014, we launched at a winery in Temecula, California, the official Best Places to Work Multifamily. As part of the Multifamily Innovation Summit, we recognize this annually each year. And you know, we moved that event to Arizona, Scottsdale and Phoenix, and the market it's easy to get to with an airplane, access to the resorts, and the experiences that we can create around this celebration. A lot of companies use this as a way to almost offer a retreat without going into the expense of doing all that, because you're going to be around other winners, you're going to be around other people committed to multifamily success, and those people that share time together, you start to develop those habits, and you come back and you make your business better. But this program has recognized companies not only local, but also nationally, from some of the best companies in this business. And we always say it's the best places to work, not the largest company in the country. People want to work on winning teams. So now we had this trusted program that can recognize those companies committed to getting this right. And so with that backstory, I want to talk about some of the differentiators that we've seen just in the last couple of years here. We'll focus on the last couple of years because it's relevant to today, and really talk about the differentiators between those that get this stuff right and those that maybe your priorities are placed in different areas of the business. So let's start with the growing emphasis on inclusion. Now, in looking at our research, it's very clear that the best places to work companies are investing more in creating a culture of belonging. You look at like how people are working. Are they working in the office remotely and all that stuff? So that's a challenge for companies today. We're seeing more seminars, workshops, you know, things that are established to task committees around the inclusion, right? Establishing this inclusion. And it's much more than previous years, right? So it's a positive trend. Professional development is another area in which the best places to work companies, multifamily, they're really stepping up. We're seeing a significant rise in companies that are reimbursing employees for certifications, business education, conferences, workshops, and even tuition. You're seeing that in some other public companies as well. Now, an interesting trend that's emerging is the heightened focus on the needs of the military families. Now, the best employers are providing special services or accommodations for important groups like the military. And this is definitely something that's welcomed and is a positive change for our industry. Now, all the trends are not positive. Fewer companies are providing workplace facilities for exercise and fitness. This surprised me a little bit, which it might be linked to the decline in either remote working and where people are working. That could be that, but we're seeing a decline from 35% to 26% for that. The employee evaluations of the employers, the performance has also seen a marginal dip, particularly around satisfaction and benefits packages. So companies seem to be struggling with timely communication of personnel changes and technology issues. This is something that if you want to make an impact to engagement, you can lean into improving these types of things whenever there are personnel changes, really communicate better with that. And technology issues, either resolving them or rolling things out, communication around that as well. And then concerns around maintaining adequate staffing levels. I know there's some different operating models that are being presented, but really the overworked employee there was three people at the property doing this, now there's one because we're having challenges recruiting. That may be an opportunity to lean into to keep that engagement high so people aren't just burning out like I mentioned I wanted to at the top of this episode. Let's talk about what sets the best places to work multifamily apart. Now, these are the companies that are offering superior programs with a particular emphasis on retirement planning, life insurance coverage, disability benefits, tuition reimbursement. There's a higher level of trust between employers, their leadership teams, and these employees, right? Inside the best places to work companies, that's a differentiator. There's higher levels of trust. Start thinking about like, how can we establish more trust? How can we develop more trust within those companies? And maybe it is that communication, just surprise changes to even personnel changes. Their leaders inside these companies are effective in showing that they generally care about the employee's well-being, right? So it's not just the property, the resident, and the process. It's literally caring about the employee's well-being. And employees feel safer really expressing their honest opinions without the fear of any negative repercussions, right? Nobody wants to be retaliated for being candid on something that's going to innovate and bring better value to the business. And so we do see that as a leading differentiator among those that make the list and don't make the list, is that their employees feel safer in expressing their honest opinions. And part of the program is they're asking their employees for this feedback. So this feedback can be used to make some real business decisions as well. And the best places to work companies are more likely to offer paid time off for like community service. We're seeing a huge impact on that. Reimbursement for certifications, business education, workshops, summits, conferences, all that stuff. And then of course, tuition reimbursements. These trends and differentiators really are a testament to the fact that the best places to work companies are about more than just profitability. It's about people, it's about their growth, and it's about their well-being. Now, if you want to learn more about the best places to work multifamily program, I took you through a few key differentiators, but really This is unique to your organization and the roadmap that you're on. And if you're interested in how your company can participate, just visit multifamilyinnovation.com/awards. There's more information there, all the information you need there to get started in this program. We do this once a year. And because of the way that we structure this program, we can provide you with probably $6,000 to $12,000 worth of value in research for the cost of one job post. We're going to make this very affordable while we do this as an industry. This type of research done independently on your own would be not only research fatigue, but also could be incredibly costly to do that. And so when you come together as part of our industry research program, number one, you benefit from the best practices and benchmarking from other companies, but also the year-over-year growth that your company participates with. Join us at the Multifamily Innovation Summit in December, and we'll be celebrating the winners of this year's Best Places to Work Multifamily Program as the category under the Multifamily Innovation Awards. I'm Patrick Antrim, and this has been another episode of the Multifamily Innovation Podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the Multifamily Innovation Show. For show notes and other resources, visit multifamilyinnovation.com.